Good morning. Very excited to be with you today to worship together and to be able to sing praises together. We are going to the Sermon Youth Series on Tuesday, and that is at the Brown Street Church of Christ in Waxahachie, and we will be leaving at 5:45. I want to mention one other youth activity that we have. In 2 weeks, on the 24th, we're going to have a youth devotional at Roy and Bonnie's house. That'll just be a time to hang out and sing some songs together and have a time to fellowship. So hopefully that's something that we can attend ourselves, and if you have a friend to invite with you, then that would be great as well. Johnny's daddy was taking him fishing when he was 10 years old. A little girl came through the front gate holding a fishing pole. His dad looked down and smiled, said, "We can't leave her behind. Son, I know you don't want her to go, but one day you'll change your mind." And Johnny said, "Take Jimmy Johnson, take Tommy Thompson, take my best friend Bo. Take anybody you want, as long as she don't go. Take any boy in the world. Daddy, please, don't take the girl. Same old boy, same sweet girl, 10 years down the road." He held her tight and kissed her lips in front of a picture show. Stranger came and pulled a gun, grabbed her by the arm, said, "If you do what I tell you, there won't be any harm." And Johnny said, "Take my money, take my wallet, take my credit card. Here's the watch that my grandpa gave me. Here's the key to my car. Mister, give it a whirl. But please, don't take the girl." Same old boy, same sweet girl, 5 years down the road. There's going to be a little one, and she says it's time to go. Doctor says the baby's fine, but you'll have to leave, 'cause mama's fading fast. And Johnny hit his knees and prayed, "Take the very breath you gave me. Take the heart from my chest. I'll gladly take her place if you'll let me. Make this my last request. Take me out of this world. God, please, don't take the girl." It's only natural to protect the person we love the most. A daughter, a wife, a son. But what if God asked you to voluntarily give that person up? Would he even do that? Turn with me to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. Starting in verse 1. "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.' And he said, 'Here am I.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you.'" Abraham, I want you to take your son, go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering. This news would be devastating to any parent. God says two things about Abraham's son. He says, Abraham, I want you to first take this son that you love. Any parent would be devastated to come before God and God says, I have a request of you. And you say, Lord, here I am. I'm waiting. I want to hear your request. And then God says, I want you to give me your son. But why was this especially painful for Abraham? Turn a few chapters back to chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Genesis. The Lord comes to Abraham and he says, I am going to richly reward you. Verse 5. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. God takes Abraham outside and he says, look up in the night sky. Abraham, I'm going to richly bless you. Your descendants are going to be like the stars that you can see in the night sky and how numerous they are. Now, Abraham, to some extent, takes matters into his own hands, and he takes the slave woman of his wife, Sarah, Hagar, and they have a son, Ishmael. But then God comes to him in chapter 17 and verse 19, and he says, God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Your descendants are going to be numerous. They're going to be great. And the person that I'm going to use to do that is going to be Isaac. So how is Abraham feeling right now? God has made him an enormous promise. I think many of us would feel like, well, God, you just told me that you were going to use Abraham to bless my life richly, that my name would be carried out through my son. And now you're asking me to give him up to you? Abraham has a decision to make. He can either obey God and offer his son Isaac on one of the mountains in Moriah, or he can say, God, I can't do that. That's too much. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Abraham rose early in the morning. We wake up early for things that are important to us. We have a business meeting. We're willing to wake up early for that. We have to catch a flight in Dallas. We'll wake up early for that. Abraham did not delay. God said, I want you to give me your best, your most precious, your most beautiful. Abraham, I want you to give me your only son. What does Abraham do? He wakes up early in the morning. And he says that he saddled the donkey. He cut the wood. He got everything ready to give this most precious sacrifice to God. Are we willing to do the same? When God asks us to do something, whatever that is, are we willing to say, God, early in the morning will I rise and take care of this immediately? Also notice, who is it that gets everything ready? It's Abraham. He had many servants. It said that he had two servants that were going to go with him on this three-day journey. But Abraham was a very wealthy man, and he had many servants. He could have said, okay, I need you to saddle the donkey. I need you to cut the wood. But that's not what Abraham does. Abraham does this himself. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Notice the word that he uses. Worship. "You guys stay here. I and the boy will go to worship." Abraham spent these 3 days getting his heart ready for this painful moment, but he recognized it as a time of worship, as a time to draw closer to God. And he says something else that's very interesting. "I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Now, wait a minute. God says, "Abraham, I want you to offer your son on one of the mountains of Moriah." Abraham says, "I'll do this." He wakes up early. He goes to the foot of the mountain. He tells these two guys to wait. "Me and the boy, we're going to go up." And then what does he say? "The boy and I are going to come back down." Now, how can we possibly make sense of this? The writer of Hebrews sheds some light on this for us. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verses 17 through 19. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Abraham considered that God was able to raise his son from the dead. Now, that's an amazing thing because God had never done that before. Even when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified on the cross, and even after he was, his disciples were in despair. They thought, "We had hoped that he was the one, but now he's clearly not because he's been crucified and now he's in a tomb." God had never raised anyone from the dead, but what does Abraham say? "I know that God is able to do this. God, I don't know how you're going to keep your promise, but I know that you will." Back to chapter 22, verse 7, or verse 6. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' He said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" "Dad, where's the lamb? Dad, where's the lamb?" Can we imagine what Abraham must have felt like? How heavy his heart must have been when his son Isaac says, "Dad, where's the lamb at?" Verse 8, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. Let's focus on that last phrase. "So they went, both of them, together." Abraham did not force Isaac to ascend the mountain that God had decided that the sacrifice would take place upon. Maybe we think Isaac wasn't very old. He didn't understand what was happening. I don't know how old Isaac was, but I know two things. One, he was strong enough to carry the wood. It said that Isaac placed the wood on Isaac's back for him to carry. That same wood that had been on the back of the donkey to make that 3-day trip. And number two, we can know that Isaac had been to sacrifice with his dad before. He knew what the protocol was. He knew that, okay, here's the fire, here's the wood. But where is the lamb? Isaac was willing to follow his dad up on top of this mountain in faith as well. Verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then Abraham lifts up his eyes, and what does he see? He sees a ram caught in the thicket. And he's able to use that ram as a sacrifice instead of his son. God asked for Abraham's best, his most precious. He asked for his only son. But in the final moment, as Abraham had the knife raised and he was ready to carry out what God wanted, what happened? His hand was kept from his son. Is that what happened to Calvary? God gave us his most precious possession. He gave us his son, Jesus. And Jesus wasn't withheld in that last moment. The nails were actually pierced through his hands and his feet. There was a real crown that was placed upon his head to inflict suffering upon him. God gave us his most precious gift. And the question I want us to consider deeply in our hearts today is, are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to follow Abraham's beautiful example and say, God, I don't know how you're going to keep all of your promises, but Lord, I know that you're going to do that, and I have so much confidence that you're going to do that, that I'm going to be willing to surrender anything and everything for you in order that I can have that closeness with you, because that's really what the whole story is about. It's not about Isaac being sacrificed or not being sacrificed. It's about God saying, Abraham, I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to ascend with this mountain in the area of Moriah, and I want you to give me your best so that I can be close to you and you can be close to me. God will lead each and every one of us on this mountain to give our best, and the question we have to ask is, are we willing to give it? Well, what is our most valuable possession? It's our soul. Are you willing to give that to God? God said to Abraham, I want you to do this. What does Abraham do? He rises early in the morning and he obeys God. Maybe you're sitting here today and you know that you don't even need to wait until tomorrow. You need to obey him right now. Maybe you've been waiting for a long time to give your most precious to God, whether that be repenting of a sin that you're holding dear to your heart, or by submitting to him in baptism and being buried with Christ and being raised up to walk in newness of life. If you have any need today, then we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.